On the show today, we have this month's Mortgage Monthly with C-Members Mortgage's very own Conrad Johnson talking about an increase in mortgage fraud and how to prevent fraud by identifying those red flags. Conrad has it all for us here, so check it out. Well, Conrad, well, thank you so much for being here today. And thank you, everybody, for being here today. We are live once again for CU Members Mortgage's very own Mortgage Monthly. And we are joined with Mr. Conrad Johnson today. Conrad, before we get started, how are you doing today? Happy belated New Year to you.
I am doing great. You know, if we can keep Cooper happy, we'll all be great.
Exactly. Well, Cooper will be just fine. I think we've been on Zoom calls quite often enough that we're pretty forgiving when the animals come in and want to say hi as well. So it's okay. We're all right with that. So
yeah.
But today, hey everybody, we are talking about mortgage fraud, something that doesn't get talked about. In my opinion, doesn't get talked enough quite enough. And Conrad is here today to talk to us about that, and it's the increase in mortgage fraud and how to prevent mortgage fraud by identifying some red flags out there that Conrad's going to point out for us. So Conrad, shall we just dive right into this?
Sure. There's a lot of data with this, so it's not what you might call a real sexy topic, but given the fact I think it's necessary and the way it affects revenue, it's an important topic.
Yeah. So there's been so much business with these crazy low rates, even though they're inching up a little bit, they're still in the bigger picture, they're still pretty darn low. But we don't hear much about mortgage fraud these days. So it's obviously there, and it's actually everywhere, but we're talking mortgage fraud here. But it makes you wonder, with so much business out there, why anyone would take this risk.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but actually it's defined as two types. One is fraud for profit, something like that. Often there's multiple participants in the fraud, maybe the borrower, a real estate agent, appraiser, a loan officer, a closing agent. And what they'll do is they'll misuse the mortgage process to steal cash. The other would be fraud for housing. And that's where you'll have an illegal action taken by a borrower motivated to either acquire or maintain ownership, typically by misrepresenting income or assets.
Mm-hmm. Good. So let's back up the truck a little bit here, Conrad. So to lay the foundation, what is mortgage fraud? Let's get that out of the way first here.
Sure. Well, the FBI defines mortgage fraud as a crime characterized by some type of material misstatement, misrepresentation, or omission in relationship to a mortgage loan, which is then relied upon by the lender. It's basically a lie that influences a credit union to approve a loan, accept a reduced payoff, or agree to certain repayment terms.
Okay, yeah, which can be very dangerous. So we got to do our due diligence here, so to speak. But hasn't mortgage fraud, has it declined over the last year or so? But don't tell me that it's the same old states and locations involved, though.
Well, it is everywhere. Just this month, and this is sort of a distressing story, but a state's attorney was indicted on charges that she perjured herself to withdraw money from her retirement account, claiming the pandemic had caused her financial difficulties. I mean, this has been in the national news, so you might know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And of course, all this while she was fully employed, making almost $250,000, according to the indictment. You know, there's further validation, according to Fannie, the fraud by region from quarter two of 2019 to quarter one of 2020 was really located in, and again, no surprise, and my apologies to you out there in California, but California led the pack, Florida, Texas, New York, and Illinois. Then what I did is I did a little more research and wanted to take a look for quarter two from 2020 to quarter one of 2021.
Okay.
And the same five states, with the only change is that Florida dropped to number three, Texas moving up to number two, and of course, California is still hanging in there at number one.
Hey, we got to lead the pack in something.
Well, sure. I guess that's because we have Tom Brady here in Tampa. Sorry.
There you go.
You know, I did just see some additional information from CoreLogic that shared that there's been a 37.2% increase in mortgage fraud in the second quarter last year. Again, California leading the way. No surprise, Florida and Texas slightly behind them. Looked at it another way, when you consider the mortgage application fraud risk, in other words, the likelihood of fraud, other states are starting to, and this is not a good thing, but they're starting to assume the top position. For example, Nevada has seen a huge increase of 44.83%. Then you go to New York, Hawaii, Florida, and California. And sadly, who's gaining ground on them? In other words, who's becoming active?
Mm-hmm.
Well, states like South Dakota, Washington, Vermont, Alaska, and West Virginia, maybe places that you just wouldn't think would be leading the pack.
Yeah, I mean, South Dakota, are you kidding me? I mean,
South Dakota.
I mean, I know it's a beautiful state and there's lovely people that live there, but gosh, that would be the last place that I would think of. Oh my goodness. So what about metro? Having said that, what about metro areas?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for a long time here in Florida, and it always seemed like when you talked about fraud, it was always Miami-Dade. Well, in fact, the top 25 metro areas for application fraud now include Las Vegas, San Jose, California, New York, of course, Orlando, mm-hmm. McAllen, Texas, Austin, Texas, and Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, I'm like your dog in the backyard. I'm like, what? McAllen, Texas?
Texas.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It's a border town, border city, okay. Big place. But they've seen a real rise in the application mortgage fraud.
Okay, very surprised. I get the other areas, but McAllen. Okay, well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on those folks. All right. Hey, refinances are slowing down slowing, and purchases remain strong, obviously. And data on purchase versus refinance applications as to fraud. So what's going on there?
Well, there was a recent study, and no big surprise here, but fraud was most prevalent in purchase mortgage application. Basically about one occurrence in every 90 applications. While fraud for refinance application was only one in 169 applications. I shouldn't say it that way because any fraud is awful. The highest risk for fraud on both purchase and refinances was in investment properties, basically one in 23 applications. Good news, the lowest risk were in VA-backed loans.
Okay. And what you mean by investment properties, second homes, things like that, is that what?
Not really second homes, true investments where people are buying rental properties.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Wanted to clarify. So what do the experts tell us about what kind of fraud is happening? What is happening out there? Let's kind of dig in the weeds here.
Well, again, I did do some digging in the weeds, and you know, this is again coming from Fannie and going back, but ending in quarter one of 2021, the top five types of fraud, mortgage fraud, are transaction fraud. That's up 34.2% year over year. And that would be something like not an undisclosed agreement or a falsified down payment. And then followed by things like employment fraud, occupancy fraud, which I actually thought would be higher, liabilities fraud, and identity fraud. Of course, we hear about that on the TV and the radio, which is basically every day.
And that's going up too, so for sure. Yeah.
As far as what's on the rise, well, occupancy, again, that's where, you know, folks are maybe trying to call something a property that it's not, maybe a second home versus investor, that type thing. Of course, identity fraud, undisclosed real estate debt that may not show up on their credit report, and of course, transaction fraud.
Yeah. A lot of that going on for sure. All right, Conrad. So mortgage fraud is obviously alive and well, unfortunately, like a lot of things. Could you detail a couple of types of mortgage fraud here?
Sure. I'll give you three.
Oh, thank you. Bonus.
You know, and sometimes folks think that they're just, you know, working within the system when they're actually, you know, committing fraud. But first, and maybe the most common one out there that no one thinks they're doing something wrong is when mom and dad give down payment to the monies to help them buy that first home. Next, who hasn't seen an application where the borrower, and this is what we were just touching on, is trying to call a subject property a second home, possibly for better pricing, possibly for a different product, but it walks and talks like an investor loan, like a rental property. By the way, we'll end our conversation today talking a little bit about the pricing on how they've made some adjustments for that. And finally, husband and wife freely disclose their plans for a fake legal separation to purchase an investment property as her primary residence.
And this one got me
just to pile on. If this were not on the Fannie Mae website, I probably would not have believed it. But Fannie has identified 63 entities in California, again, sorry, Mike, as places of employment that appear to be fictitious.
Like they're not real?
They don't exist. And
actually, my God.
When we talk about red flags in just a moment, you'll see that that's one of the things you have to be careful about, that make sure that the employer is actually there.
In this case,
just jump over to the Fannie Mae website. You're going to find 63 entities that they've identified that do not exist.
Oh my God. I feel like I've just walked into like an episode of TMZ or something like that. What's going on here? This is crazy.
I need a much bigger group behind me then. So.
Exactly. So what's a credit union to do, having said all of this?
Well, the first thing is to realize that you're not immune because you haven't experienced significant losses. That's like saying, you know, I don't need car insurance because I haven't had a wreck. But big picture, first, I would say stay informed. There's so much information, education available to you. You know, your mortgage insurance companies all offer online classes. If your credit union is a member of a credit union real estate network, for example, I'm a membership chair for the Florida Curran. Reach out to your peers. Log on to the Fannie or Freddie websites to gather information, some of which I've shared with you here. And of course, also local trade organizations will offer training. Next, educate. Your origination team knows, you know, they're the first line of defense. They need to know that they're looking for, you know, maybe something that just doesn't fit. Also with them, they should be exploring the red flags that we're going to talk about. You know, be aware, ask questions, reach out to other credit unions. Mm-hmm. I ended that by saying, you know, an old political line, trust but verify.
Yeah.
You know, and then finally I said share. You know, leadership for me involves sharing of vital information, you know, maybe at the next loan officer meeting, something like that. Might be a good time to take a look at what red flags are being identified out there as active today.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Any suggestions where our credit unions can go and find this information? I'm sure there's a bunch of resources out there.
Well, there are. Now, not by means of endorsing the following, but just to give you some examples of some places you can go to find some of this. Mm-hmm. For example, and I like to say with just a click, I mean, for example, on public information, you know, if you want to look for some salary benchmarks, maybe it doesn't look right. You can go to salary.com.
Okay.
Business info, you know, pretty much every Secretary of State has a website where you can go and do a little research there. Real estate data. Hey, everybody's been on realtor.com. If you're so inclined, a couple of fee-based opportunities for consumer info, there's LexisNexis.com, mm-hmm. employment. And a lot of us use this just with our automated underwriting. Would be the worknumber.com. And then finally, real estate data, again, another opportunity, but again, fee-based, would be like realquest.com.
Okay. Good stuff for you. Yeah, we'll include those in the show notes as well, so people can check those out. Not that you guys are endorsing them, but they're pretty solid resources for folks out there, especially credit union folks looking for added information. So, personally, I interview underwriters and processors all over the country. Sure. It seems like on a daily basis here. So there are specific items or red flags, if you will, that are on everyone's radar. Can you share a few of these for folks out there? Because I'm sure folks really interested to hear.
Right. And this would be something, like I said, that if folks would like to share maybe in their next LO meeting or when their processors get together, because, you know, with the amount of business out there, we're all, you know, just one to the next. So the first thing I would say is, do the documents look or appear altered? We've all probably picked up a pay stub and it just looked a little off, something like that. Also, a borrower on their current job for a very short period of time. Again, these are not necessarily examples of fraud, but maybe need to take a second look. Here's one. A pay stub template that are similar for various employers. Now, that's a tougher one because it can get passed because you probably have multiple processors, multiple underwriters, that type of thing. But something to look for.
Okay. Good enough.
Pay stubs lack typical withholding items. Maybe it's, again, it just doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. And here we go to that California thing. Employer's address cannot be verified. Next one, that's employer right. does not exist. Prior employment as a student. Again, not necessarily fraud, but maybe just something to take a second look at. Starting okay. salary appears way too high, something like that.
Unless you live in California, especially Silicon Valley.
Well, you know, we're actually going to talk about that point in our next little area here. But
oh, good. Okay.
Employment doesn't make sense with a profile. And finally, excessive submissions. Now, that could be to automated underwriting, into underwriting. But again, they're just things that you should maybe do just a little more. Take a second look at.
Yeah. And before you move on, Conrad, I think it would behoove. I can't believe I said the word behoove, but it would behoove somebody to go to somebody who has. It's almost like you have a trained eye in this area. Folks have been looking over these applications and paperwork and things like that for years and years. And I would think somebody who has a trained eye could spot something pretty darn quickly, right?
They should, because to be honest with you, the things that we just ran through, they've probably seen.
Exactly.
But having said that, you know, it's always good to have maybe somebody else take a look at it. If you're uncomfortable with what you're looking at, chances are you're right, and maybe somebody else, maybe just the person the next desk over, or in these remote days, maybe have to scan. It's worth taking a second look.
Exactly. And having another pair of eyes check it out too. So, hey, what about the pandemic? We haven't mentioned, oh my gosh, we've gone, 20 minutes and we haven't mentioned COVID? Wow, that's a record. So what about the pandemic? Any lasting effects here?
Well, there have been. And some of it might be surprising, but the idea of working remotely has really kind of swept the country. You know, homeowners are moving to obtain cheaper housing and more space. Texas and Florida are the most common destinations. Concerns here include, and this is what you were just touching on, you know, employers might have a salary adjustment from a high cost area, i.e. California, New York, you know, maybe to a Texas or a Florida. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really have to be concerned whether those salaries will continue. For the folks, especially if that migration, you know, from California to Texas to Florida doesn't continue. And of course, the departing community could be at risk as these folks move out, affects the tax base. They possibly could become distressed areas and generally more susceptible to fraud.
Yeah, no doubt.
Here's one that surprised me.
Okay.
Only in title, and it's about affordable housing. Specifically, though, in the 2 to 4 family occupied properties, typically sold off to FHA or HUD, A, due to the larger loan balances, and B, because typically the borrowers need to qualify with income from the property. And finally, while the industry is clamoring for faster approvals and less documentation, that's what we all want, will the new reliance on desktop appraisals, aka no site inspection, increase the risk for a bogus collateral evaluation.
And so this looks like a lot of work and follow-up. So what's the benefit here to credit unions?
Well, early on in our discussion, I mentioned the word revenue, and here's where it really comes down to. For every dollar of mortgage fraud, cost mortgage lenders $3.56 this year, up from $3.30 last year. In fact, the cost of fraud has almost never gone down since LexisNexis Risk Solutions started tracking it. Looked at it a different way. And even worse, finding fraud after the loan closes costs an additional 33% of the loan
for the
investigation, for the processing, etc.
So, having said that, it sounds like this work is well worth it. Doing your due diligence is well worth it.
It really is.
these costs.
It really is, because again, you know, it's all about revenues on the loan, and everybody's working with much thinner margins these days. Mm-hmm. We hear that everywhere.
Yep.
So managing and taking care of, you know, your fraud risk is critical.
Yep. Well said. Well said. Moving away from fraud here for the balance of our time, just want to switch gears here a little bit. Is there any other update that you can share with us? What else is going on out there?
Well, there was recently a letter released by Fannie Mae that at the direction of the FHFA, Fannie and Freddie are increasing their loan level pricing adjustments charged on second homes and high balance loans. Now, some have described the new loan level pricing adjustments as pricing second homes as investor properties. Now, you and I talked about that a little bit earlier about maybe as an example of fraud. Mm-hmm. But now with these new adjustments ranging from 1.125% at a very low loan to value of 60% and below, all the way up to 4.125%, which really, I checked some pricing yesterday, and that equated to about a 1% increase in rate. And what does that do? How does that affect things? It makes that borrower have a lot less significant purchasing power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, there is some good news that came out of it, though. So end with a positive. You know, in support of the affordable housing financing goals, the high balance LLPAs will not apply to first-time homebuyers with incomes less than or equal to 100% of the median income. Okay. So if you have a loan that fits that criteria, secondary will need to see an email from underwriting confirming this for us to be able to move forward. Okay. And by the way, those LLPAs went into effect on Friday, January 7th. So they're already out there.
Okay. Very recent stuff.
It truly is. That was that letter, I think, was dated the 5th of January, if I'm remembering.
Yeah, that is super recent. So good stuff. Oh my gosh, Connor, this is something I'm perpetually fascinated by and interested in, and a little embarrassed about. You know, our state of California leading in so many areas in this area, so maybe we can do a better job too, especially those 63 fictitious businesses out there that are messing things up. But we'll get over that. We'll get over that. Yeah. But thank you so much, Conrad. This is fantastic information.
Thank you.
So helpful.
Yep. And like I said, if there's any questions out there or follow-up, if anyone would like to reach out to me or my peers here at CU Members Mortgage, please, we're available.
Sounds good. All righty. Well, thanks again, Conrad. Great stuff again. Again, fraud is just it's top of mind for everybody these days, you know, including the mortgage industry. So it's great to have this type of information. Any information is helpful. And my philosophy is you can never have too much of this information to help you out and keep you on the straight and narrow and add that benefit for your members here. So, all righty. Well, that said, stay tuned for next month's Mortgage Monthly, where we'll have more mortgage related expert information for you. Can't wait. And until then, go out there and do some great business. Keep the home buyers up there. Keep them happy and getting into their homes. And that American dream is still alive and well. And again, we'll see you guys in 30 days. We'll see you in February with more mortgage related.
See you in February. And fortunately, Cooper kept quiet for us. So
good job. Well, kudos to Cooper as well. Yeah. Well done. All right, Conrad. We'll see you later, and we'll see you guys later as well. Thanks for attending.
Thank you, sir.